with Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, even all the world, with Jew and Gentile alike, and all people, all nations everywhere, with them, all of them having need to hear the gospel, having need to hear the good news message. Paul sums up that message this way in 1 Corinthians 15, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scripture." The gospel, the good news that Jesus, God's Messiah, had been crucified, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, sacrifice, the atonement, the acceptable atonement, the propitiation, the satisfactory offering, the sufficient payment whereby the wrath of God against the sin of mankind could be, would be averted, put on Christ at Calvary so that sin plunged beneath His shed blood there could and would lose all their guilty stains. Oh, aren't you glad for that this morning? Christ on the cross bearing the punishment for your sin, enduring the eternal wrath of God against your sin, so that you in Him and through Him could now experience not God's wrath, but instead God's grace, God's mercy, even His favor and His blessing. So that you, formerly God's enemy, could now be counted as His child, a son, a daughter, a joint heir with Jesus of all the Father's goodness. Oh, don't you know? That is good news. That is the gospel. And in fact, even more, Christ died, was buried, oh, but was raised again on the third day. Ours the gospel, the good news message of a resurrected Savior, a living Lord. With that message, with that gospel, with that good news for the whole world, and now ready for the whole world, and needing now to get to the whole world, you would think that Jesus' instruction to the disciples would have been to get going. All the world needs it. All the world is waiting for it. I'm leaving. Now you go and preach the good news wherever you go. You would think that, but it's not that. Instead, it's this. You are going to go. But before you go, wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised. Dear brother, dear sister, New Life, listen to me this morning. Before you go, before we go, we need to wait. Jesus commands us to wait today. Do you believe that? Can I ask you again, even as I have each Sunday now, can I ask you to believe that with me? Jesus commands us. Jesus commands you. Can I ask you this morning, are you waiting for the gift of the Father? Jesus commands me. He commands us to wait today, because the Father's gift promised to them then is the Father's gift promised to us today. Jesus commands us to wait then. And if we will, even as they received then, so we will receive today the gift of the Father. We will receive today. We will be baptized today in the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Can I ask you again to believe that with me? That if we wait for the gift of the Father, even as He has commanded us to, we then will receive the gift of the Father, even as those in the upper room did. Do you believe it this morning? That here in this place, there can be a shaking. There can be tongues as a fire, and even the sound of a mighty rushing wind that would blow through this place, and all all of us be filled again and again and again with the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you this morning for the weeks past and still for a couple weeks to come that you believe that with me today. Would you make it your prayer? Would you make it your heart's desire? Would you make it your one request? Father, today, above all else, more than anything else, I want your gift. I want the Holy Spirit. You've made Jesus to be your Savior. Would you ask him now to be your baptizer? Would you invite the Spirit in? Would you let the walls down? Would you let him have his way in you without limit, without restraint? Would you let him speak to you? Would you let him change you, move you? Would you let him work in you? Would you let him fill you? This morning we wait. We wait for that. We wait for him. And listen, this for real, the truth, we do that because, oh, how we need him. Do you know that this morning? You need him. New Life, listen to me. We might need a lot of things today, but above all else, we need him to come. Come, Holy Spirit, we need thee. Do you remember? Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Would you bow your heads and would you just invite him, come? Would you just say it? Even as the song would express it, come, Holy Spirit, we need thee. Just tell him that. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Would you personalize that? Come, Holy Spirit, into my life. I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Would you just intercede for a moment for this church? Oh, Holy Spirit, come in thy strength and thy power in this place. Oh, it's what we need. Holy Spirit, so then we invite you to come. We make room for you this morning. We give place for you to come this morning and fill us. We need that. We need that for your need, just for a moment, for your need. Would you invite the Holy Spirit to come? Express your need. Let him know your need. Lord, for the financial situation, I need the Holy Spirit to come in his strength and his power. And my pain and my suffering and my grief and my depression and my anxiety and my worry and my fear, Lord, what I need the Holy Spirit to come in his strength and his power. Jesus, we ask you to be our baptizer. Father, this morning we wait on your gift, the gift of your Spirit. In response to that, would you pour out your Spirit on this place? In Jesus' name, amen. In John 16 and verse 14, we discover this related to the person and the work, the ministry of the Spirit. This is what he does. He glorifies Jesus. If you and I, if we as a church, we'll give ourselves then to the Spirit. If we'll let him do what he wants to do, this then is what he will do. In you, in me, among us, he will glorify Jesus. If we'll give ourselves to him, if we'll submit and surrender ourselves to his ministry and to his work, if we'll do that even without restraint, without limitation, listen, then he will glorify Jesus in us, among us, through us, equally, without restraint and without limitation. If you want Jesus, then listen, you don't need to fear the Spirit. You don't need to consider him something strange and intimidating. Rather, you need to welcome him, because when he comes, he'll give you Jesus. More and more, he will glorify Jesus in your life. In John 16 and verse 8, we read this: when he comes, that's the Spirit, he being the Spirit, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is what he does. This is his work. This is his ministry. He convicts you. Maybe better to say it this way: he convinces you. He convinces you that you're a sinner needing a Savior. And when you turn to the Savior, He convinces you that you're now clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. This is the miracle of Calvary, that there God takes your sin and puts it on His Son, so that then He can take the righteousness of His Son and put that on you. This is the miracle of salvation, that because of Jesus, in Jesus, your life in Him, when God sees you, He sees His righteousness. He identifies you by the righteousness of Jesus. This last week, I had a conversation with someone, and they were going through a difficult time. And it had been a sort of a long-term kind of a difficult time. If you've been there, you understand where their question came from. Their question to me is, we're just talking, and it wasn't necessarily to me. It was just a question as they expressed their thought, what they were thinking. What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Have you ever been in trouble? Have you ever been in a need, in a situation where you needed God to do something, but didn't seem like God was doing anything? And you begin to wonder, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? You started to look for sin in your life. What am I not doing that I should be doing? God could do something. God could help me. God should help me. The fact that He's not, this is our thought, there must be something wrong. But in talking to this person, it happened to be the case for them. This really their struggle. This really their frustration. They couldn't find anything. They couldn't think of anything. I'm in trouble. I need help. God's not helping. God's not delivering from the trouble. Something must be wrong. Something must be wrong with me. But I'm not finding the sin. I'm not doing things that I shouldn't be doing. I don't see what those things are. I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to be generous. I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to love people. I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to do all the right things. Something must be wrong, but I can't find what it is to fix it. And this my response. Oh, to be able, first of all, to always know why God does or doesn't do for us, right? Whoever first figures that out is going to write a book and make a lot of money. Pray that it's your pastor. I'm fairly certain this side of heaven, that will never be completely known. Listen, we walk and we live by faith. Simply put, that means there will be times when God does things that you never thought of, and it might throw you for a loop. There'll be times where God, it seems, is silent when you need Him to speak up, and that will maybe throw you for a loop. But we're a faith people. We don't walk by what's going on around us. We walk by faith in who He is, who He says He is, what He does, what He can do, what He says He will do in us and for us. But this also my response. Be careful of falling into that trap. Listen now, that faulty kind of thinking. God's not helping. Something must be wrong. But you do know, right? When God sees you, He sees you covered and clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Do you understand this morning? When God sees Jesus, His response was not, I'm not going to help because something's wrong with Him. When God sees Jesus, His response, do you remember? This is my beloved Son. I'm pleased with Him. Do you understand? When God looks at you, He doesn't see you, all that's wrong with you. No, not you in Christ. Instead, when He sees you in Christ, He sees the righteousness of His Son. And His response, this is my child. I love him. I'm pleased with her. Listen, it's true. Sin brings you out from under the blessing. and the favor and the protection, even the goodness of God. This is why you want to guard against sin in your life. You want to live under the downspout of all that God has for you. Don't let sin come in and move you out from under that. Life is messed up and will mess you up outside of that. But even as that would be true, listen, so also is this. Be reminded today of this. When God sees you, He doesn't see who you used to be. He doesn't see all you've done wrong. He doesn't see all you shouldn't have done but did. He doesn't see all you should have done but didn't. He sees you covered and clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Listen, if there's sin in your life, let the Spirit convict you of that. Let Jesus cleanse you of that. Let the Spirit bring power and victory so that that sin is no more. Removed today, gone for good. But also this, let the Spirit convince you today of your righteousness in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. You believe that, right? You're convinced of that. That you're forgiven. That when you sin, you call out to God for Him to forgive you. And because of Jesus' death at Calvary, because of His shed blood there, you have a confidence. There's a convincing, a conviction that as you ask with the sincerity of heart, that it's true, God will forgive you. Because you're convinced that at Calvary, God put on His Son all of your sin. Now, equally being convinced of that, be convinced of this, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Even as you give place for the Spirit to convict you of sin in your life, and good for you to give Him place to do that, let Him convict and convince you of that as well, that you are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. Still more, He convinces you, sinner now saved, covered and clothed in divine righteousness, because the devil is defeated and stands now condemned, you can live in victory. If you're not convinced of that this morning, oh, you need the Spirit today. You need Him to do a powerful work. You need Him to work powerfully in your life. My thought for a few weeks now has been simply this. The Spirit makes all the difference. It's the Holy Spirit that makes all the difference in glorifying Jesus. Christ is the only Savior. Christ is the only way to the Father. Christ is the mediator between God and man. We need help magnifying Him to the world. The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit makes all the difference in doing that in us, among us, and through us. The Holy Spirit makes all the difference in glorifying Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that makes all the difference in ministering to the lost. We can show men their sin, but only the Holy Spirit can convince them that they're a sinner needing a Savior. We can tell people they ought to, they need to love Jesus, but only the Holy Spirit can convince them to love Him. Only the Holy Spirit can convince them to give their lives to Jesus, to live for Jesus. No wonder we need Him so. No wonder it surely is true. He does make all the difference. Let me share with you quickly just a few portions of Scripture this morning that will ultimately bring us to still that same conclusion. First, from the Old Testament, though we could choose others this morning, one of the judges of Israel, one of the great heroes of Israel, Samson. And this is what we read in Judges 13 and verse 24. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. Verse 25, and listen now. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. Judges chapter 14 and verse 16. The Spirit of the Lord came on him in power, so that he, that Samson, tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. It's interesting. always our image of Samson is this man of great physique and great physical strength. And yet, apart from his long hair, as a result of him not cutting it, listen, we know nothing of Samson's appearance. Do you understand? Your picture of Samson, this great Hulk, bulging muscles of a man, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. It's unscriptural, meaning it's not there. There's no biblical evidence for it. This is our picture. I tend to think it's hurt. It's compromised our understanding of the true source of Samson's strength. The great muscles that tore the lion apart? No. It's not at all that. Scripture is clear. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And because of that, Samson tore the lion apart like he might have a young goat. Judges chapter 14 and verse 19. Once more, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 of their men. In Judges 15 and verse 13, Samson is bound, tied up. The Philistines came toward him shouting, once more, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Again, no scriptural evidence of Samson's training, his ability to fight. Skilled in all manner of warfare, no wonder then such a warrior so good in battle. No, it's not there. Don't miss it this morning. Listen, set aside your notion of Samson's great muscular build and great strength. Scripture is clear. The Spirit of the Lord began to stir him, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him in power. And for that reason, Samson defeated the enemy, brought great victory, salvation even again and again to Israel. Scripture is clear. The message is clear. The Spirit makes all the difference. If you want strength to strike down the enemy, you don't need to worry the length of your hair. You don't need to worry your physique or your muscle size. You need to worry about the Spirit of the Lord stirring you and coming upon you. If you want victory in the battle, you need him, because he makes all the difference. Unfortunately, with all that's good of Samson's story, we also have this in Judges 16. Then she called Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He woke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Spirit had left him. One of the saddest, one of the most intimidating, one of the most frightening scriptures, I believe, in all of the Bible. Is it possible? Is it possible that we show up on a Sunday morning thinking we're just going to do what we normally do, have church like we normally have church, and not even realize that the Lord has left us? Is it possible? Samson's story says that it is. Is it possible that you could wake up tomorrow morning or any given morning, I'm just going to go do what I always do. I'm just going to go do work. I'm just going to go live my life without even realizing that the Lord has left you? Samson's story tells us that it's possible. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding in the prison. How clear the picture, right? The Spirit of the Lord on him, Spirit of the Lord with him, and Samson is the victor. The Spirit of the Lord leaves him, and regardless of him thinking he would just do what he did before, he did not. He could not. And the hero judge of Israel becomes the captive of the enemy, once saving, now grinding away in the prison. Listen, whether you live the conqueror or the captive, it's the Spirit that makes all the difference. I don't need to ask you this morning, do you want to be the conqueror or do you want to be the captive? I know your answer. You have to hear me then. You want to be the conqueror? It's the Spirit that makes all the difference. Some of you in facing the enemy, you're consumed by things that don't matter. And for that thinking, you don't have that. You don't have the hair. You don't have the physique. You don't have the know-how. You're not good enough. You're not able enough. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You can't be victorious then, and you're not victorious. But listen, it's not about that. It's about the Spirit of the Lord stirring you, coming on you in power. That's what you need. Listen, so the victory can be won in you, and so the victory can be won for you. And can I remind you, that is your calling. That is your destiny in Christ. You are more than a conqueror in Him. Listen, in Him, you do have victory over the enemy. You have victory over sin. You have victory over trial and trouble. You have the victory over worry and anxiousness and fear. You have the victory over bitterness and anger. Whatever it is that the enemy would try to imprison you in. Listen to me this morning. You have the victory in that and over that. Whatever today has bound you, you need to hear me. But you have victory over that. Why be bound by that? When in and by the power of the Spirit, you can be a conqueror over that. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, something that just recently has captured my attention, a familiar verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And listen now, and you will be my witnesses. Does the Spirit empower you to witness for Jesus? Yes. Yes, He surely does. But notice the verse. He empowers you not just in doing, but in being. You are empowered to be all that Jesus has declared you to be. You are empowered by the Spirit to be all that Jesus died for you to be. You are empowered by the Spirit to be then victorious, a conqueror, not a captive. This then the witness of what He's done for you and who you are in Him. Listen to me, Christian. Listen to me, dear brother, dear sister. Listen, you need to turn off the Christian TV and listen to your pastor this morning. Your witness is not in the big bank account. Your witness is you being more than a conqueror when there's nothing in the bank account. Your witness is not you living all the time, only the time, in perfect health. Your witness is you being more than a conqueror when you can't hardly walk, stand, or sit because of the pain in your body. And yet in the midst of it all, you know the joy of the Lord that is your strength. He's my victory. He's my Savior. This is how we live as a witness for Him. Listen, don't worry how you don't measure up. Don't worry that you don't have the fame. Don't worry that you don't have the power. Don't worry that you don't have all the money. Don't worry that you don't have all the influence. Worry instead in this, that you are empowered by the Spirit, despite not having any of that, to still be His witness as you live your life more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. This your calling. This your destiny. Can I ask you this morning, are you being His witness? It's a good question still to be asked. Are you witnessing for Him? Reminder this morning, the Spirit will give you the words to say. You don't need to worry. Well, what if they ask me questions? You're worried about the hair. I don't have the muscles. You're thinking Samson, big hulking muscle man. You're forgetting. But it's the Spirit stirring. Listen. If the Spirit begins to stir you to go talk to your neighbor, I'm telling you this morning on the authority of God's word, I don't care what you don't have, you have all you need to go and do what He's asked you to do and to make a difference as you live your life a witness for Jesus. Samson delivered Israel. Samson holds a place in Hebrews 11, the hall of fame of the faithful. Listen, God wants to deliver through you. Do you understand? Not only does God want to deliver you, God wants to deliver through you. God wants to write your story. God wants to include your name in the ongoing list of Hebrews, if you will, the ongoing list of the faithful through whom he brought great deliverance and did great things. And again, unless you're inclined to think, no, Pastor, not me. And you begin to list your excuses. You begin to list the things that you don't have, the things that you don't know, the things that you've never done before. Oh, listen to me. I pray it for you. I pray it for me. I pray it for us as a church. May the Spirit change us today. We don't need the hair because it's not about the hair. We don't need the big muscles because it's not about that. We don't need to have done that before. We don't need to have all the answers to all the questions. We don't need to have the best presentation, the greatest argument. We don't need to have all the right words. Some of us were frozen. We're paralyzed in fear, doing nothing to deliver anyone, all because of what we don't have, what we don't know what to do, what we don't think we can do. We need the reminder this morning. We need to hear this morning what we need. All we need is the Spirit, because He makes all the difference. Listen, if you, no matter you, if you would go into your tomorrow in the power, in the fullness of the Spirit. If you, no matter you, no matter your story, but Pastor, you don't understand. Tomorrow, I'm just doing this, and I'm just going to be here. My life, not that influential, not that important. Listen, you, no matter you, if you would let the Spirit begin to stir you, if you would let the Spirit come upon you, there is nothing you could not do. There is no victory that could not, that would not be won in you. There is no victory. There is no deliverance that could not, that would not be brought through you. No matter you, no matter anything about you, because it's not you. It's not about you. Rather, it's the Spirit that makes the difference. Listen, God has set you apart. I believe that. God has prepared each of us. Whether it be for our work, whether it be for our family, whether it be for our friends, whether it be for our neighborhood, whether it be for this church, whether it be for this community, God has prepared you for such a time as this. God has purposed and planned good things for you to do, for you to accomplish in Him, for His people, for His kingdom. You are, all of us are, if I can say it this way, are our Samson for our day. You are. I am. We together are. And for that, listen, don't worry about the hair. Don't worry about the ability. Don't worry about what you can or can't do. Don't worry about what you've done before or haven't done before. Don't worry anything about you. Instead, be concerned and consumed only with this. It's about the Holy Spirit. Make it to be your prayer. Holy Spirit, stir within me. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. Concern yourself with that. Let your thought life be consumed by that. Listen, if you want to live in your God-ordained potential, if you want to see His plans and purposes fulfilled in you and through you, if you want to experience the victory and bring the victory, if you want Him to do great things for you, if you want Him to deliver greatly through you, if you want to be changed, if you want to overcome the sin, the struggle, the adversity, the addiction, if you want your name listed with the faithful, listen now, if you want to do more than you could ever possibly do on your own, you need the Holy Spirit. He makes, He will make all the difference for you. From the Old Testament, the story of Samson and his life, now to the life of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Soon as he was, even as he came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and settled on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." In Luke chapter 4, parallel passage after this, Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Hear that this morning. Jesus returned filled with the Holy Spirit's power. When he came to the village of Nazareth, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll, found the place where this was written: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. "The scriptures you've just heard have been fulfilled this very day." Listen now. This is true. Jesus is God. We have a hard time fully understanding it. Fully man and yet fully God. He is God in flesh appearing. And so when Jesus, when he silences the storm, when he multiplies the bread and the fish, when he cleanses the leper, when he sets the demonized free, when he opens blind eyes and deaf ears, when he makes the lame to walk, when he calls Lazarus from the grave, of course he does. He's God after all. Is there anything God cannot do? No, of course not. There isn't anything. All things are possible with him. No wonder Jesus did then all things. But listen, so also this is true. We just read it. Jesus didn't do any of it except the first. The Spirit descended upon him. Before bringing the good news, before setting the oppressed captive free, before causing the blind to see, before it all, Jesus was filled with the Spirit's power. Listen, the miracles that Jesus performed, hear me this morning, the ministry, the work, the authority, the power that he demonstrated while on this earth, it wasn't just because he was God. It was as well, even equally as well, because he was filled. He was anointed. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Listen, you cannot separate what Jesus did and the Spirit that was at work in him and the Spirit that was at work through him. You can't say, "I want all that. The ministry of Jesus, I want that. The influence of Jesus, I want that. The power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, I want that. I want all that, but I don't want the Spirit." You can't do that. You can't separate him from the Spirit in him, even the Spirit enabling him, empowering him to do all that he does. Jesus was fully God, and his miracle ministry evidenced that. But Jesus was fully filled with the Spirit, and his miracle ministry also evidenced that. Track with me on this now. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus says this: "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me," listen, "will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these." You and I, we're not God. We're not like Jesus like that. If all that Jesus did was only because he was God, then we couldn't do those things, not ever. But Jesus said we would, even that we would do greater. How's it possible? Because it wasn't just because he was God, but because he was filled, because he was anointed with, because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And watch now, that same Spirit lives in you and lives in me. No wonder then we can do what he did. We can do even greater than he did. Listen, if you want what you read, then what you need is the Holy Spirit. What you need is to live your life just like Jesus lived his. Completely surrendered, totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 3, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Hold that thought for a moment. In John 20, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." The Father sent Jesus for what purpose? 1 John, to destroy the devil's work. And as the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us. The purpose then the same, to destroy the devil's work. Listen, if you belong to Jesus, no matter any other thing, if you would say this morning, Pastor, I belong to Jesus. Yes, I do. Just as Jesus was, you are now called and sent to destroy the devil's work. Let me put it in the context of Jesus' words in Luke 4. We read them a moment ago. Though about him and for him, let me personalize them for you. The one sent even as he was. The Spirit of the Lord is on you. For he has anointed you to preach good news. He has sent you to proclaim. Captives will be released, the blind will see, the oppressed set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. In a few minutes, we'll leave this place. Listen to me, understand this. We leave here to go do that. So, my brother, sent even as Jesus was, anointed and empowered even as he was, listen, go preach the good news, go set the captive free. Go proclaim liberty. Go put your hands on the sick and make them to be well. Go and proclaim deliverance for the demonized. Go unafraid, in courage and in boldness, knowing, listen now, it's not by might nor by power, you know it, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Stop giving ground to the devil in your life, in your family, in this church, New Life. Let's stop giving ground to the devil. Let's stop letting the devil have his way in this community, even in our nation. May it stop today as we take hold of this. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed us, sent us so that even as Jesus did, we might do, destroy the devil's work. From Samson to Jesus onto the New Testament church, and we close. Peter is one of those in the upper room filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that upper room experience, he addresses the crowd and begins to preach Jesus. His message concluding, this Jesus that you crucified is the Lord and the Christ. And all the people were warned. And all of them responded, what must we do to be saved? And on that day, there were some 3,000 added to their number. We left Peter at the conclusion of the Gospels in the courtyard of the high priest, warming himself by a fire, confronted by a servant girl. You also were with the Nazarene, with Jesus. And Peter said, no. He denied knowing the one who healed the fever of his mother-in-law. He denied knowing the one who calmed the sea when he thought he was going to drown in it. He denied knowing the one with whom he walked on water. He denied knowing the one he proclaimed to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. No way. I wasn't with him. I don't know him. And he did it again and even did it once more. This Peter, the one who so failed his teacher, his rabbi, his Messiah. This is the same Peter who stands now before the crowd and preaches Jesus. The same Jesus he was too afraid to acknowledge when a servant girl asked. Maybe, though in fact better probably to say it this way, it's not the same Peter at all. Because this is Pentecost Peter. And maybe even best of all, we set Peter aside altogether and see this as it really is. This is the work. This is the power of the Holy Spirit in Peter. This is the difference, all the difference that the Spirit makes in Peter. In Acts 18, we're introduced to a man in Ephesus named Apollos, a great eloquent preacher, a great apologist, a great defender of the gospel. He knew only, though, the baptism of John, and that's it. Acts chapter 18 concludes, and we've got nothing more. A good speaker, a good preacher, a good service had by all in Ephesus. But then in Acts 19, Paul shows up. And to the disciples that he meets, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They don't even know there is a Holy Spirit. And so Paul puts his hands on them, and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied, and then everything changes in Ephesus. God does extraordinary miracles through Paul. Handkerchiefs and aprons that had been touched by him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured. Evil spirits left them. The name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together, burned them publicly, and the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. The same city, the same church, the same group of believers, but in fact, again, maybe better to say not the same group at all, because Acts chapter 18, that's just a good service. Oh, but Acts 19, that's the Spirit of God at work. And that makes, he makes all the difference. Listen, this is the truth. When the Holy Spirit shows up, when the Holy Spirit is present, that's what makes for good church. Coming in, punching our ticket, biding our time, a song or two, announcements, preaching, that's it. We did the deed. We went through all the motions. Now time to go home. Listen, that's not church. No, rather church is when we engage and encounter the work and the power of the Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't show up. We're a social club at best. Do you understand? It's the Spirit that makes the difference. Every experience that you've ever had in church, wow. That message was so for me. The Lord speaking to my heart, in my life, situation that I'm in right now. Wow! That was the Spirit present. That was the Spirit at work in you. Wow, that time of worship. You know, our tendency, we think of the song, but it wasn't about the song. It wasn't about the music. Listen, have your preference. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. But there wasn't a mighty move of God in worship because we sang a hymn. There wasn't a mighty move of God because we sang the latest and greatest from the radio. The mighty move of God we experience in worship, it's because the Holy Spirit was at work as we begin to worship the Lord together. Wow, the time at these altars, it was because the Spirit met you here. It's equally true of your devotional time, an amazing, a wonderful time in His presence, in the Word and prayer, in your own time of worship. It was because the Spirit was present. He makes all the difference. And I challenge you, I know not every devotional time, not every church service is the same, and yet still I would feel comfortable in saying this. Anytime you walked away from either thinking, I could have done without that, you were probably just going through the motions, but missed engaging with the Spirit. Because when He shows up, when He's at work, you don't walk away saying, I could have done without that. No, no way. Because He makes all the difference. And when He shows up, it makes all the difference. Without the Spirit, we can have a good church service. New Life, listen to me. Without the Spirit, we can have a good church service. If you want it, we can go without the Spirit, and we can have a good Acts chapter 18 service. But if you want Acts chapter 19, if you want changed lives, if you want the miraculous, if you want the demonized set free, if we want to experience that, if we want the word of the Lord spreading like wildfire and growing in power, then we need the Holy Spirit. The only difference, it's the only difference between the two chapters. It's the difference that the Spirit makes. It's the only thing, but it's the one and only thing that makes all the difference in all the world. If you want church to be church, and you want the church to be the church, if you want to see the church rise up again, stop losing ground to the devil and start taking back territory from him, if you want that, this is what you then want to do. Open your life to the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that makes the difference. Listen, can I echo what all of us are thinking right now? We don't just need another good church service. Can I just say what all of us are thinking? There's nobody that needs just another good church service. Can I say what all of us are thinking? Are you kidding me? That world out there, and the best we're going to offer is a good church service? No. No way. What we need is the presence and the power of the Spirit in our lives. What we need is the Spirit's anointing and touch upon us again. What we need is people filled with the Spirit, changed by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and turning the world upside down because of it. And Jesus, and Peter, Paul, all the way back to the Old Testament, and Samson, and God's Old Testament people, and God's New Testament church, and you and me. Listen, it's the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. He clothes us with power from on high. He empowers us to witness, to be witnesses of Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus has done. He empowers us to live Christ-like lives. He empowers us to live in victory. He fills us so that we speak in other tongues. In that we pray the perfect will of God. We pray right. We pray the prayer that comes with guaranteed results, because it's God's prayer. It's God the Spirit praying His prayer through us. Don't be intimidated. Don't be bothered to lift your voice praying in the language that the Spirit would be given you. Don't be afraid that others would hear you. Don't be uncomfortable with that. Listen, you want the brother, you want the sister praying the perfect will of God as they lift their voice in that heavenly language, in tongues. We worship God as He truly deserves to be worshiped. Do you understand? Your best in English, your best, it's not enough. Not for Him. What do you have? What's the best? Oh, God is good. No. Dinner last night was good. The game on TV was good. The weather tomorrow's going to be good. The day at work was good. Surely there has to be something better than that with which to worship the living Creator, Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God. There is. And the Spirit will speak it through you. The worship that fits Him. Don't be afraid to lift your voice and worship God as He deserves, in the language that the Spirit would give to you. Don't feel uncomfortable when the brother, when the sister begins to lift their voice. Listen, they're worshiping God in a language with words that we cannot comprehend, because His nature is so far beyond our comprehension. He helps us. He leads us. He guides us. He speaks to us, reveals to us, teaches us, convicts us, comforts us. He strengthens us, prays for us. He calls us, prophesies through us, brings us joy, brings us freedom. He transforms us, renews us, produces fruit in us. He gives us gifts. He helps us obey. He unifies us, sanctifies us. He seals us. He glorifies Jesus in us. He makes all the difference. That's why we wait for Him. That's why we surrender ourselves to Him. That's why without limitation, without restraint, we let Him work in our lives and in our church. That's why we may clear our cry today. Come, Holy Spirit, I need Thee. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Would you stand to your feet once more this morning? Would you just bow your heads and begin to invite the Lord once more? Would you invite the Lord to fill you with His Spirit? Would you let Him do a work? We pause for a moment. We give opportunity for the Spirit to do His work in us. Let the Spirit do a work in you this morning. Listen, don't be afraid to lift your voice. Don't be afraid. Let the Spirit fill you this morning. Be baptized, my brother. Be baptized, my sister, in the Holy Spirit. Can I even invite you, as an expression of just opening your lives, would you just lift your hands and open them wide? Open your arms as if you're receiving just some great big gift from the Father, like you're wanting to receive, Holy Spirit, fill me. Father, we want Your gift. We want Your Spirit to fill us this morning. Ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to anoint you. Ask Him to empower you. Come on, let the Spirit do a work. Let the Spirit do a work in you. Let the Spirit have His way. He makes all the difference. You don't want life without the Spirit this morning. You don't want life without the Spirit. You don't want to do ministry without the Spirit. You don't want to go in the world out there without the Spirit. Just open wide your arms. Holy Spirit, we need You. We need You. Holy Spirit, come. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Oh, come in Thy strength and Thy power. Let Him move in power in your life. Let Him move in power in your life. Come on, give Him place. Let Him baptize. Let Him heal you. Let Him work a miracle. Come on, the Spirit confirmed the preaching of the Word with signs and wonders. Was the Word not preached this morning? It was. Let the Spirit begin to do the miraculous in you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let Him glorify Jesus. Come on, church, just begin to lift your voice and worship Jesus for a minute. Let the Spirit have His way. He wants to draw you to Jesus. Let Him draw you to Jesus this morning. Let Him glorify Jesus through your voice, through your lifted hands. Let Him glorify Jesus. It's what He wants to do. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Have Your way. Have Your way. Work among us, work in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Father, we invite You every week. It's been the focus. It's been our heart's desire from Sunday to Wednesday. You know it. Lord, I believe You've given it to me. I believe You've laid it on my heart. I believe it's purposeful that way. It's just a time waiting on You. And Lord, we continue to wait. We continue to wait that we might receive the gift of the Father. I pray for my brother, my sister in the room that's not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I pray that before this time of waiting, as it were, is over, which is still a couple of weeks away, but before it's over, my brother, my sister will be filled with the Spirit. And we'll worship and we'll pray and we'll intercede in that heavenly language that the Spirit gives. I pray it. I pray it. That there would be the hunger for that and the chasing after that. As Holy Spirit, we long for You and the evidence of You at work in us and filling us. I pray that there's the miraculous that happens in our midst, Lord. As we wait, this is why we wait. So that Your Spirit might move mightily. Powerfully among us. This is why we wait. This is why we wait. I pray for the miracle that my brother and my sister still longs for. I pray, God, that before this time of waiting is over and we move on to the next series of messages, that the miracle happens. That the healing comes, that the deliverance, that the victory is won. Lord, I pray for my brother, for my sister, bound by something. Oh, make them to be the conqueror, not the captive today, by the power of Your Spirit. Thank You, Jesus. This is why we wait. We don't wait just to wait. We don't do something just to do something different. We wait because, Holy Spirit, we need You. We need You. We need You. It's our prayer this morning. It's our prayer this morning. And Lord, we thank You. As we wait, we will receive. This sanctuary will soon become an upper room as the Spirit is poured out in our lives. Oh, we believe it. And Lord, as that happens, we believe also this, that we will go from this place and turn our world upside down for You and for Your kingdom. Make it so. Make it so, Jesus, I pray. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The message simple. The Holy Spirit makes all the difference. Don't just listen to your pastor, preach that. Believe that. Believe it for your life. I pray that you would. And I pray the Lord's blessing over you. Would you extend your hands once more? Father, on the authority of your word, I declare it. That Jesus, you would turn your face, look on this people. Lord, you would bless them. I can think of no greater blessing that you would bless them with your spirit. Bless them with the gift of your spirit. Bless them with the outpouring of your spirit. Bless them. Lord, bless you and keep you. Jesus, please, be good, be gracious to this people. I declare it. I speak it in faith. The Lord be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you receive that? Would you say amen this morning? Amen and amen.